Anybody can sit there. You can want Parks and Rec?
Yes.
Oh, look, the tennis man.
But then I just. When everybody else was going to jump up.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, I think so.
I see somebody missing here. I was going to call them because I know I heard from two of you today that you never got noticed, so that's what I was doing. Good evening. We'll open this special meeting of the City Council. This is interview night for boards and commissions. We're so glad that you all came down. We're going to try and keep this easy on you. We know it can be difficult to sit up here and answer our questions, and we're not here to put anybody on the hot seat. Just get to know you. I do want to make a comment about Jack LaLanne because I've had several calls on it today, and other people have called other people who've called me. Jack is at Benedict Ready. The service will be here in Morro Bay. Elaine and family will be meeting over there tomorrow, and tomorrow afternoon we should have a. It is the largest group that we're going to deal with tonight, so I'm going to ask those that are here for Planning Commission to bear with us. I think that we will get through the other commissions fairly expeditiously, hopefully, and we won't be keeping you here too long. So if the and Public Works Advisory Board, we have no applications for, so if someone doesn't get chosen tonight, and that is going to happen, I know on Planning Commission we have about 8 applications and 3 vacancies, so at least 5 of you are not going to get chosen in that one. Harbor Advisory has 2 openings, and we have 3 applicants, so 1 applicant's not going to get chosen on that one. If any of you would be interested in the Public Advisory Board, please let us know, because we do have 3 vacancies there and no applicants, and it's a very important board to the City Council. Anybody want to add anything before I begin? Anything over here? Could I ask the Recreation and Parks Commission, that would be Al Romero and Robert Swain, to come up and take a seat here. Even just wherever you like, there's plenty of chairs there. You can both pull a microphone up to you. Why don't we start with you, just introduce yourself, take 30 seconds, and give us a brief background.
Yeah, I'm Marcus Wayne. Recently moved to Morro Bay. We've been part-timers for 8 years. We'll get full-time in November.
Is your mic on? And if you'd pull it up closer.
Even I can hear that.
There you go, thanks.
Do I start my 30 seconds over?
Yes, please.
My name is Robert Swain. Just moved to Morro Bay in November. We've been a part-timer in Morro Bay for 8 or 9 years, and finally my wife retired, so we moved here full-time. Let me start my business here. But I want to be on the Parks and Recreation Commission because I was on it for 8, 9, 10 years, something like that, in Fountain Valley, and I really enjoy being part of making the community better for everybody. I think that open space is very important. They've done numerous tests, and the more open spaces that the city has, the happier the people are. Usually the crime goes down because people are get out and get their energy going. So like I said, I've been doing it for 8 or 10 years in Orange County, and I like to pursue it, keep it going here in Morro.
5 years in working with the city, with Andrea in the past, and now with Joe Woods. I've worked with him and on the maintenance and net repair and generally resurfacing. We have a very, very active group of people. We're all seniors. We have a 90-year-old woman who plays actively. Doesn't move around the court very well, but she can hit the ball. That's the important thing. And so I really enjoy that. I like to work with people, especially seniors. And I think based on my experience in tennis, I could lend some support to the city.
Great. Thank you both. Two great candidates here. With all everybody, I will alternate the questions. So you're going to go first once, you're going to go last once. I think the person who goes last always has an advantage because they get to hear the other people and formulate. So we'll try and keep that as fair as we can. Carl, you want to ask a question?
Sure. Good evening. Thank you both for being here. I wish we had two openings. There is a consideration before the City Council in adjusting the advisory meeting nights, and I'm just wanting to know if you followed the Parks and Rec meetings at all. Are you open to that availability of change?
Yes, I would, very definitely.
I'm very open to it.
Okay. Thank you.
Nancy?
Okay, just a question. How do you feel about three different things? The plans for Coleman Park expansion, the use of the Teen Center building, and the level of fee, a level of fee schedules that would support the Park and Rec Department?
Why don't we start with you? We started with Mr. Romero first last time, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll start with Mr. Swain. Go ahead.
Like I said, I just moved here to Morro Bay, so I'm not familiar with everything 100%, but I definitely feel that a rec center is very important for kids these days. We need to get our teens and younger kids involved in activities so we keep them off the streets and out of trouble. And in order to make that happen, you do need fees. I mean, you can't give everything away free. So we do need fees to maintain it, and the fee should be structured so that it is affordable, but also so that it is maintainable. I mean, we don't want to lose money on a facility, but yet we don't want to make $1 million off it. We need to maintain it. And to be honest with you, I'm totally unfamiliar with the plant situation.
Keep them away from the drug peddlers, et cetera, et cetera. When you mentioned Coleman Park, were you referring to the proposed area for the new tennis courts?
Oh, I'm thinking of down along the boardwalk.
Oh, yes, okay.
You're thinking Del Mar Park, I think.
Yeah, okay, but you said Coleman Park. I think what's been done there is just fantastic as far as the boardwalk and the boardwalk. The walk itself, I think it really has enhanced Morro Bay in terms of tourism. It's very, very, very attractive. And the one area that I do have concern that I probably should address this now is the maintenance, especially in the restrooms. They're not really being kept up clean at all. Now, there's an apartment complex directly across the street, and there are a lot of young kids that live in there, and they tend to, fortunately, they do utilize the park. The park is heavily used all the time, especially in the afternoons during the school year. But that's one concern that I have. I've even noticed just along the Embarcadero, there's some public restrooms. I don't know if that's part of Parks and Rec. Some of them have showers in them that are not, that could be used better maintained in terms of that.
Thank you both.
Thank you. George?
Well, you both seem to be very enthusiastic about this, and I don't really have any questions for you to ask. I just want to know, can you still hit the jump shot?
Me?
Yeah.
I was always an insider.
All right. What was your time in the 100-yard dash?
It was pretty slow.
Really?
That's why I was in.
How are you going to keep up with these youngsters?
I played in Miles Square with 20-year-olds every Saturday and Sunday. I can take them on.
Don't leave it to Maryland.
How about you, sir?
Well, I never was much of a basketball player. Growing up, baseball was my number one sport. I only wish I would have started playing tennis when I was in high school.
Yeah, would you like working with the kid? Young
absolutely. Kid? Yeah. I'd be happy to do whatever I can to.
Okay, we'll work on your jump shot.
No.
They think I'm old enough. Some people around here think I invented the jump shot.
He did. Noah.
Okay, sounds like a challenge. I just have a question about your observation with our programs or particular parks in town. Which do you think is really exemplary, and which do you think could be improved? And if you have an idea, what would be something that you'd suggest for us?
Stewart Mill.
The one area that I already feel that needs to be acted on is the additional courts. This has been a subject, how many years now the money was available? And it's finally been appropriate, and I understand it still isn't out the bid yet. I think we really need to move on that.
We can understand your frustration on this.
We only have two courts at Monte Young Park, and we can't more about the programs and what is available in order to broadcast it.
Mr. Swain?
I think the Del Mar Park area. I love going there. That's beautiful with the screens through it and everything else. I think that is very expressing of openness. What we want to make Morro Bay look like is just something that's inviting for people to come and enjoy. The other parks, I know there's a couple of them. I'm not sure by the names, but the one that's over on South Street and Shasta?
That's Monte Young.
That's your park?
Mm-hmm.
I see it is a nice park. I've not had a chance to use it yet, but I think it's very nice that we have a park on that side of town. And I think it's important to encompass all parts of town, like where I came from Fountain Valley. Everything was in one end of town. The other end, you had to drive to get to it. Kind of like neglected one part of town. I think we should, like the parks there. You got the Del Mar over here. You got the boardwalk. So I think we've really got everything surrounded pretty good. And one of the important things, I think the boardwalk is beautiful, but maybe even more natural things that grow natural along there just to make it so it doesn't look so deserty maybe would help. But otherwise, like I said, I haven't a chance to really delve in all the parks yet because I've only been here since November. But the hills are nice because I run down those hills. Try to stay in shape. But other than that, yeah, I think we're heading in the right track. I like to be part of it, just keep going in the right direction and improve it all the way around. I say tennis. I love playing tennis too. And I like to get out there and be able to do that also.
Could I make one further comment? I'm involved with the Morro Bay Yacht Club, and one of the volunteers at Clean Tidelands Park. And my wife and I cleaned the park this morning, emptied all the trash barrels, and it was so difficult to understand why there are so many cigarette butts. I've never seen so many. Of course, the weather's been beautiful. Saturday, Sunday, every trash container was completely full. But also those restrooms. And, of course, there are showers there, and the water must just flow all over. And as a result, it makes it pretty difficult to walk in there without slipping. So that's important that that's maintained, especially when there are small children around.
And you've lived here for 7 years, Mr.
It'll be 7 years in August.
And you're a newcomer?
Since the day before Thanksgiving.
Great. I'm not going to ask any further questions. I don't think it would add anything. You're clearly both very qualified for the Parks and Rec Commission. I don't know where I'm going to put my X yet. Anybody have any follow-up questions?
That was hard. I hope the rest of them aren't that hard.
Yeah, that was a difficult one.
Let's try to remember that Public Works is available too, guys.
Work doesn't sound good. Work.
I know.
Ms. Luker?
Mayor Gates, I have 4 votes for Mr. Romero and 1 vote for Robert Swain, and those came in the following manner. Councilmember Borchard voted for Mr. Romero. Councilmember Johnson voted for Mr. Romero. Councilmember Smuckler voted for Mr. Romero. Councilmember League voted for Mr. Swain. And Mayor Yates voted for Mr. Romero.
So, Mr. Swain, we thank you very much. You know, I'll tell you, my vote was, since you both seem equal to me, had to do with my last question. And it basically, my vote went to the longest resident. You know, we do encourage you and support you in, you know, reapplying for this. We do encourage you to apply for PWAB if you have any interest in that at all, Public Works Advisory Board. And otherwise, we hope that you'll stay involved with our Parks and Recreation programs and come back and apply again. And we thank you both so much for coming tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We'll do Harbor Advisory Board. Mandy, Jeff. Michelle. Michelle didn't make it. Good evening, have a seat. I'll ask you the same. You want to take a minute and introduce yourself? We'll start with Mandy. Push the button and there should be a light comes on. There you go.
Hi there. My name's Mandy Davis. I have been a resident of the Central Coast for my entire life. I've been a resident of Morro Bay on and off since 2000. I am and have been very, very involved in the economics and the ecology of the area. I have done countless hours of work with the National Estuary Program and am very familiar with many of the political, economic, ecological, and harbor-related issues that have faced the harbor over the years. So I guess that's probably pretty much it.
Great. Thank you, Manny. Jeff?
Test.
You're on.
Good evening. My name is Jeff Eccles. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I've lived here for the last 2 years, and before that, lived for 2 years over in Los Osos. As far as recreation, I love the water. I love the bay. I've been on the water for the last 4 years, at least once or twice a week. I kayak quite a bit, and recently bought a sailboat a couple of months ago. And so now I'm a little higher up on the water these days. I'm primarily a businessman, and have been in business the last 23 years. But there's a rare fact about me that a lot of folks don't know. After working my way through college, I went to Long Beach State University and grew up in Long Beach, close to the water. I joined the Merchant Marine, and I was a merchant seaman for 2 years. So I actually lived on a 285-foot research vessel for those 2 years, and I've seen at least dozens of harbors and port towns around the world, and have seen those in just about the best way that you can see them, and that's coming in from the ocean for the very first time. So I have a love of the ocean in general, a particular love for our own harbor. My kid's grandfather has lived here for about 35 years, and just about every pile that's been driven out in that harbor has been driven by him, because he was actually the barge foreman for Associated Pacific for about 3 decades. His name's Mark Graham. So I know a lot about the history of that. All I do is take Mark out on the boat, and he'll tell me about that rock or that pile or where that caved in or where that boat sank. So I've got some living history there with Mark, and I do appreciate that. As far as actually serving on the board, I have a lot of board experience. I've served on at least a dozen or so boards over the last 25 years. My degree is in finance, so I'm great with numbers, budgets, working with contracts, and my real passion is to serve the community. I have 2 kids that are 7 years old.
Between the different needs and uses of the harbor, and if you could speak a little bit to that, challenges that you see coming forward for the harbor particularly, and generally your philosophy of how to balance the economic, the environmental, and the social uses on the harbor front.
Well, as you well know, Noah, we're extremely limited, actually, in the influence that we can have because of the regulations that we're forced to deal with at so many different levels, from the Coastal Commission on down. So I think you hit on the key word, though. That's balance. First, we have to preserve, from an ecological standpoint, the nature and balance of the bay. And then beyond that, it is a natural resource and a treasure to us all. It largely defines our town. So I think as long as we preserve that ecological balance, beyond that, I think the bay should be utilized as much as possible.
Mandy?
The question of balance is always what we want to look at when we're dealing with an extraordinary ecological system like we have here. So, you know, when you're looking at some of the projects, like the dredging projects, you know, the State Park Marina projects, and some of the projects that come before us and the decisions we have to make, you always need to be able to balance, you know, what some of the environmental impacts are and what the impacts or what the uses are and how much that's, you know, how much of a benefit to our community that's going to be. So, you know, there's always those things you have to look at. And, you know, admittedly, with my background, I will probably have a little bit more of a tendency to bring forth the information that has more to do with ecology, has more to do with the biology of the area, et cetera. But being a business person on the harbor, I'm also very, very aware of the impacts of what I do and what everybody else does here in the harbor that adds to our community from an economic standpoint. Ecotourism and the forms of tourism that, you know, that we look at here and that we have the opportunity to benefit from are increasingly becoming more and more important. So those are all of the things that we really need to look at. How tourism is going to be benefited, how the fisheries are going to be. Looking at from a usage standpoint, we have some pretty significant issues with dredging problems and the engineering and the way it was actually misengineered from the beginning. And so making sure that those dredging issues, including the dredging of, you know, the area back in the state park, that's a pretty big issue because you're dealing with not only environmental impacts, but you're dealing with usage, both commercial access and, you know, sport and tourism access too. So I would probably have to pick that one.
Jeff?
Lots to choose from in terms of use and balancing that use as we discussed before, but I think one of the most critical issues that faces the bay is stormwater runoff. One of the directorships that I sat on several years ago as I was on the board of directors up in Santa Cruz County for a water district, and we were in a coastal watershed as well, so I'm very familiar with coastal watershed issues and aquifers and all that kind of good stuff. So one of the most significant factors to preserve the health of the bay is managing particularly stormwater runoff, but water runoff in general from the watersheds and how that water gets into our bay. So I think that's something that needs to have constant attention because that's at the beginning. And after that, we can look at other issues, usage, liveaboards, all those other things. But if we don't have a healthy bay, we're not going to have those other things to manage.
You know, Jeff, you hit it right on the nose. That's what I was looking for. Because that's what I think is the storm problems we have, you know, with the runoff in the bay. Is there anything that you could think of that would we could do for our bay that we're talking about tourism here to attract tourists to our bay? Is there anything we could do to improve it? Do you got any ideas or on that line?
Jeff first.
One of the first things that I think we could do is the bay is generally viewed from the Embarcadero. And I walk the Embarcadero just about daily. I'm opening a new business down there and live right above it. And one of the things that really sticks out to me as an eyesore are all those newspaper racks that are just abhorrent. You know, they've got poo-poo on top of them and other assorted things that you don't want to touch. And so that would be one of the first places that I would look. I know that...
Incredible. And for us to capitalize on that and for us to advertise and to make sure that, you know, the public at large is aware of that is really a huge issue. It's a huge issue for us from an economic standpoint and for recognition. I think ecotourism, very honestly, not just because I work within that field, but is one of the areas that we really, really need to focus on. The Chamber of Commerce, our advertising needs to be focused more towards that. It happens to be one of the fastest growing economic sectors in the United States, and especially coastally. So in as much as there are many things that, you know, add to our economy and that add to the you know, the whole picture, I still think that our wildlife, the fact that this estuary is such a jewel, it is literally one of a kind. After having traveled around the world and been to many harbor areas and paddled in estuaries all over the southern hemisphere, it is one of a kind. So we need to focus on that, let people know.
Okay, we've heard a lot about the bay and the water and those. Where do you stand on, how do you feel about the issues that the Harbor Department has to deal with in, on land use issues? The role of the Harbor Department along the Embarcadero. Who's first?
Start with Mandy.
Could you be a little more specific on which land use issues that, you know, because anytime you have a harbor, you know, there's that interface. So there's a huge interface specifically.
For example, maintenance, the T piers, and also the fact that the Harbor Department maintains the leases down there of the buildings.
Right. Well, you know, somebody previously, you know, I live aboard. I live on my boat. I own a mooring. And, you know, personally, you know, I know the guys in Parks and Rec do as good a job as they can, but personally I would like to see better maintenance, especially after weekends, and for these guys to really gear up after some of the big weekends, most especially in the public launch ramp area. It gets so, you know, that's one of the land use issues. To visit, you know, the beautification of some of the areas, you know, around the rock and utilize them a little bit more and than they're being utilized at this point in time.
Jeff?
That's a tough question, Nancy. I think in this situation, no news is good news. I don't hear a whole lot of problems about the land use issues with regard to the Harbor Department. Having just signed a lease along the Embarcadero, it was under the auspices, of course, of the Harbor Department. I've dealt with Sue Lichtenbaum and dealt with her last year also, and she's done a fine job. So I don't see that there, to plead a little ignorance, from the perspective that I have, there aren't any major problems that I see with land use issues. And moving forward, I would think that the Harbor Department, particularly because the structure may be changing and certainly has changed over the last year with the departure of Rick, I would think that the department would just want to continue to maintain transparency and open communication with the stakeholders. And as long as that tradition is continued, I think they're on the right track.
Carl?
I don't think there's many questions left. I'll keep it real simple. Have you attended a Harbor Advisory Board meeting in the past year? Whomever its turn it is to start.
I haven't attended one in person, but I've watched several on television. And one of the things that I did over the last 2 weeks is I sat down with Jim Phillips, the chair of the board, and spoke with him about some of the issues that the board is facing. And made sure in doing that research and due diligence that it would be a good fit for me. And after sitting with Jim for an hour, I feel that it would be a good fit.
Thank you.
Randy?
I haven't. I don't own a television. And I just recently moved back onto the bay. So I have spoken to, you know, I've spoken to Gene a couple times about what's been happening and what some of the key issues are, you know, recently, but I have not.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask about commercial fishing, because I haven't heard either one of you mention that. So where is that on your priority list, and how do you view that in importance to the community? We'll start with Mandy.
Commercial fishing always has been important. It will continue to be that into consideration. I will be very, very honest with you, though, you know, because I will probably present a little bit as a Harbor Advisory Board person. I will probably present a little bit different information and possibly view on fisheries, how they're managed, and not necessarily their importance, but some of the decisions that have to do with fisheries. I mean, Jeremiah and I have had conversations, and I know a good portion of the fishermen here in town, and I try to listen, to understand, and to take in their information and base my decisions as open-mindedly as I can, understanding what my own personal ethics and viewpoints are.
Jeff?
I see the fishing industry is really the hallmark of this town. It's iconic. It's right up there along with the Rock as far as defining what this town is all about. And when I think about the history of Morro Bay and the Bay specifically, in my mind, two things pop out as far as defining the Bay and being historic. That would be the war with all the work that the Army Corps did there, and then the fishing industry. As far as the broader issues of fishing, I don't know how much influence as a harbor board director or sitting on the harbor board I would have. I would view my job really to support a home for the fishermen. What they do outside the bay, in my opinion, is fish, and that's a real big issue. But we are a bay town, we're a harbor, and we've provided a home for those fishermen for decades. We've got multi-generational families in town here, and I think that's our obligation, is to provide the slips for those boats, to support those fishermen where we can, and provide that home for their boats so that we can call this their home port, and they'll be happy to continue to do that.
Okay. Any follow-up with anybody?
I
just had a question in regards to our third applicant.
Yeah,
and also the designations for the different posts that are available.
Andrea, can you help us?
I can't with your third applicant. We didn't hear from Michelle today that she wouldn't be here, so I'm not quite sure what happened there. You currently have the positions that are open in terms of designation as recreational boating and Waterfront Leaseholders Association. I do believe party boat, that sort of thing, is my understanding.
Okay, and then my second question is, Ms. Larry is already on the Harbor Advisory Board currently, and I'm not sure what circumstances would keep her from here. So are we allowed to vote or not vote for that applicant if they're not here? I'm not sure what the clarification is on that.
I'll start, and then Rob is in the audience if I go astray. My understanding is that you cannot vote for somebody that hasn't been interviewed tonight. You do have the ability to leave positions unfilled if someone doesn't receive at least three votes for one of the openings.
Correct. You may vote on two, one, or none, but it takes three votes up here for any candidate to win a position on a commission.
And to confirm, we cannot vote then for Michelle tonight.
Well, that's what I'm hearing.
That's correct. We'd leave that position. If we got a situation where we only had one person that was voted in, then we would leave that position unfilled and perhaps re-advertise at a later date.
And so then, for clarification, the position that would fit Mr. Eccles would be the waterfront leaseholder? Is that correct to assume that?
I'm looking at Mr. Eccles, but I think that was probably the closest.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Here, let's vote. Thank you both very much for taking the time and coming to talk to us. If you just stay tuned here 1 minute, we'll see what happens.
The results are that I've got three votes for Mandy Davis and three votes for Jeff Eccles. Councilmember League voted for Mandy Davis and Jeff Eccles.
Community Promotions. Janice, Bill Stafford, Susan Stewart. Good evening, welcome. Thank you for your patience. Why don't we just start with Bill and do your 1 minute intro.
Bill Stafford. I've lived here in Morro Bay since 1988, so it'll be 23 years, I think, in February. I've worked for the Chamber of Commerce under three different executives in three different offices. I've sold advertising around town for various organizations. I've ran the first festival After Dark. In my business career, I owned a business which got involved with some advertising, but I also ran a big campaign in San Francisco for Texaco at one time. So I've sold advertising and I bought advertising. I'm interested. I've been on this committee for 5 years. I got involved with it because it was a committee that had taxpayer money budget. And I always feel that whenever there's taxpayers' money, somebody needs to be looking at it and seeing that the money is spent as well as possible.
Thank you. Janice?
Okay.
What is your background, Janice?
gosh, I haven't done much. Actually, I used to go to the promotion committee meetings before I was appointed to the council, and then I was liaison to TBID when I was on the council, so I've always had that interest in promotion coming from my career in Hollywood, if you want to call it that, where I did a lot of advertising work. I've been involved with location scouting here. In fact, I'm going to the VCB meeting this week about their different focus. And certainly promotion is something with my involvement with the Bird Festival and the Mermaid and Pirate Parade and the other activities that is certainly dear to my heart and something I think is very important to us. One thing I thought was really interesting, I was going through some of my files and clearing them out, and I found all my location and casting notes for Blue Valentine, the feature film that has two probably Academy Award nominees in it that was supposed to be shot here.
Kids here. Started out raising those kids. I was a house painter and an archaeologist for a while, and in 2006 bought a business in Old Town called Beats by the Bay. It was my first step into business and certainly my first foray into advertising. I've been on the promotions committee almost as long as I've had the business. Joined the Chamber, joined the Merchants Association, joined Morro Bay Beautiful, joined the Morro Bay Historical Society, and I'm now on the Chamber and Merchants Association boards. And I think, I don't have the advertising background, but I think what I bring to the Promotions Committee, which I'm still very interested in, is the business owner's sensibility of what this town offers and what we need to present to both our own community about why tourism is important and to really the rest of the world. When I look at my customers, they're from all over the state, all over the country, and all over the world. So.
Thank you. I'm just going to state up front here. We have four positions. We have three very qualified. Two already sit on it. Janice, of course, is Janice. And I support her being on it. So I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm going to support all three of you to go on this board. And it's pretty simple with me. And where did I start last time? We'll start with Nancy this time. What? Do you want to go first, George? You go first. Push your button.
Excuse me. That's all right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The last time we had Michelle wasn't here, we couldn't vote for her. Now we have three and four spots. What happens to this fourth spot?
it's still open, and we will re-advertise for it and hopefully fill it down the road here soon.
I should have figured that out myself.
I have a... I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
That's
I
quite
apologize.
All right. George is finished. Go ahead, Nancy.
I have just a question that's kind of clarification, because I agree all three should be appointed. Yet, when I read the description, one four-year term is supposed to be a motel restaurant person, and then there's, well, a three-year member at large and a four-year member at large and a four-year special event. So do we need to designate who's three and who's four, or how do we do that?
That would
just to broadcast that we would then be most likely looking for a restaurant or a hotel motel manager or representative.
Yep, that would be the void.
The four spot, right?
Yes. And so do we need? We don't even have our ballots, but I mean, if I can get a consensus here, does this work? We put make. Bill, the three-year, the ladies, four-year, and...
Would Janice, are the special events?
Okay, right.
Perfect.
Okay.
Easy, I like it.
Over here, George? It's done deal.
This is
Janice, you're the special events representative. Bill, you've got the three-year term. Susan, Janice, you have four-year terms. Thank you very much for coming tonight, and thank you in advance for serving.
Make us famous.
T-Bid, Nick, John. Yep, we have a similar situation here. But we wouldn't not hear from you both. We'll start with Nick. Who are you, Nick?
My name is Nick Mendoza. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I've lived here for over 25 years. I have a business in North Morro Bay, and I've served on the BID board for, I think, a year and a half or 2 years. Yes, something like that. But I enjoyed my time there, and I hope that I can continue to... do the work. I think it's very important for Morro Bay that, you know, we get the word out about our town. You know, we've had some of the candidates mention how important it is that, you know, we promote Morro Bay. You know, tourism is our major industry now, so we really need to advertise, get the word out. We're in a very competitive area with Monterey County, Santa Barbara County, Ventura County. Where are we? We're all competing for that tourist dollar, so it's critical that we, you know, promote the town and get the word out in California, in the United States, internationally as well. And I think the board has done an excellent job, and will continue to do so.
Thank you, John.
Actually, I'm Nick Mendoza. I'm John Myers. I've lived owned property here since 2000. Lived here since 2000. When the T-bid assessment went from 3% to 2%, looked at re-raising it to 3%, and how much, you know, asking if the T-bid would fund some portion of the visitor center. So a project working with the numbers was trying to figure out what would be an appropriate level of funding for the T-bid to pay for the visitor center, which I think all worked out well in agreement with everybody. It's a really, really good group of people. I don't know, just tout the group a little bit. They've been in existence for roughly 18 months. Nick's been there the whole time. I can only claim half of that, and they've accomplished a heck of a lot. I'd say look at the morrobay.org website, and I think everybody would be very impressed with the way the city is presented on that website. Look at some of the new brochures that have been promoted and actually put together by this group, and I think we can actually say that of four or five, I believe, of the last 6 months of 2010, TOT revenues actually were up compared to prior years, and before that they were, you know, down pretty steadily for three consecutive years. So I think it's saying that the group is getting something done, and I just like to continue to be associated with that group.
Thanks. Well, I'm going to make the identical statement I made last time. Here we have two great candidates. We have two openings. They're already serving. They're doing a fabulous job. I support them both. So I have no questions. And where did I start last time? We'll start with Noah.
I have no questions either. I think you're both doing an excellent job. Glad you're willing to sign on again. George?
Yeah, thank you very much for your service.
Nancy?
Let's keep them both. You do good work.
Carla?
I will echo that, and thank you for your service.
So we clearly have a consensus here. All five of us support you. Two more four-year terms. We're very grateful for your service, for showing up, for being focused, and for what you do for our community. Thank you for coming tonight. Congratulations. And now we are at the Planning Commission. If those applying for Planning Commission would like to come up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, one or two of you may have to sit at the back table there.
Good evening. Rick Grantham, approximately 20-year resident, Morro Bay. I won't take a lot of your time. You know who I am. I've enjoyed serving, and I'd be happy to serve again in the future if you see fit.
Thanks. Bill?
Yeah, I'm Bill Wells. I've lived here for 40 years. I'm a retired carpenter. I've worked on most of the jobs around here, and it's been a good place to live and work, and I think I could do a good job, expedite the building process, and get people a building permit maybe quicker than it takes now.
Thank you. We'll start down here in the end. Press the button to the like. Press the button there. A little green light will come on.
There it is. There you go. Okay. Thank you. My name is Jerry Weber. I'm a registered mechanical engineer. Okay. We have lived in Morro Bay now for approximately 2.5 years. We've been visiting down here for almost 20 years, so we're well familiar with the region. Because of my job as a mechanical engineer, we were more or less forced to live in major metropolitan areas. Mechanical engineers have a tough time surviving in a rural environment. But after a lifetime of living where the work was, we had the opportunity to move to a place of our choosing, and we chose Morro Bay. I would really welcome the opportunity to help to preserve the charm and vitality of this particular town. I'm really entranced by it. Chanced.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Susan Schneider, and appreciate the opportunity to talk to you this evening. I'm a small business owner. I own an energy consulting firm. I've been in the business for about 30 years. And I'm a consultant to the California Wind Energy Association and Large-Scale Solar Association, and do consulting mostly with renewable energy developers and putting together their power sale agreements and their grid interconnection agreements. So I have a big interest in sustainable development. I'd like to see some more focus on infill development in the city as a way to boost the tax rolls and preserve the charm in Morro Bay without having to go out to brownfield sites to do that. And I'd like to see also some additional focus on sustainable water use in the city. I know there's been a big issue.
Yucas in 1978, so I've been here for a long time, and during that time, most of that I've been a home builder and done development and also some real estate. I'm a licensed real estate salesperson and general contractor. And I would like to get on this board basically because I want to serve the community and become more a part of the community. And I feel that because of my time spent in front of planning commissions and with working with architects and different people, that that's probably the best place that I can serve, where I know most of what I can help with. I really like Morro Bay a lot, and I like what the planners have done for us in the past. So I'd like to see that we continue to keep it going the same way it has. There may be some room for improvement in some of the building permit processes that maybe I could help out with. I'd just like to serve to help the community.
Thanks. Hello, John.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is John Solu. I'm a business owner in Morro Bay, and I've been here since 1998. You probably saw my face a lot in a different capacity, more in the tourism end of it. But it's come to me that probably within the last 6 months, I've really slowed down my life in regards to my businesses. But currently, the reason I am interested in being in as an advisory board to the City Council, I was involved in being in front of the planning board, numerous planning boards in Morro Bay for different projects, which unfortunately a couple of them did not go through. I was also involved in a managing partner in Fresno County, dealing with LAFCO, dealing with farm contracts, and basically developing 160 acres over 400 parcel lots, mapping it and so forth. I was the managing partner of that between 2002 and 2006. I am very much property owners' rights is very important to me. And with the current economic conditions that we're in, we have to make it as least painful as possible to the people, the applicants that are coming in front of us. And I hope to contribute in that respect. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have 33 years of hands-on building experience. I have dug ditches, tied steel, set forms, framed, plumbed, electric, heated, roofed houses. I know how to read plans. I have a certificate of completion from Quest Ecology and Construction Technology. I believe that my skills, my knowledge, and my experience would be an asset to the city. I've watched the meetings for the last 25 years. When the 2005 council was changed, I came up to try and approach and get on the council and was basically told not to do it by someone in the city here, and I didn't, and I kind of feel bad about that. I'd like to take my time for the next 27 years of my life and try and donate it to the city. I've got a great life here. When I moved here, there was 9,785 people that lived here. Right now, the sign says 10,795 people. I watched this our population go up. I watched it go down. We have a small community. I grew up in the Newport Beach area, used to go to Balboa Beach. Here is the second best place in the world to that, and like to keep it that way. I also am active on the waterfront. I work for Burgess Landing part-time. I'm a boat captain. So with my experience, knowledge, and building trades, technology, information, I'd like to use this as an asset to serve the city and hopefully help the people of the town be able to build their houses and not be overly expensed.
Thank you. Tom?
Hi, I'm Tom Laurie. I've lived in Morro Bay, Los Osos, Cayucos since 1977 and Morro Bay since 1994. I've been contracting here in Morro Bay since 1977, back when you could hand a set of plans across the counter of Bill George and he'd stamp them and hand them back to you. But every year, the planning process has become increasingly more complex. The problem is, one of the major problems is that the general plan and the local coastal plan and then our zoning ordinance is grotesquely out of date. And I'm retired now, I'm a business owner, and I have time to donate to the city to start working on revising the general plan. I know the general plan was completely redone in 2004 and certified by the city, but it wasn't certified by the Coastal Commission. They had several issues with it. And I think that general plan has several weaknesses that need to be worked on. With the Planning Commission, for the decisions they make, if they don't pass the urine test or whatever it is for political correctness, but the basic problem is a general plan. It's so out of date, and so and the zoning in this town is so strange, and there's so many districts in this town, like the Beach Street specific plan and the North Main specific plan, that have opportunities for people to tweak their lot coverage setbacks and volume. Just if they can find a public benefit, and a public benefit is a very subjective thing. So, you know, if you had a good document there to work with, you wouldn't have to worry about your planning commission making politically incorrect decisions. So I'd like to devote some time to that. I know it's kind of a thankless process because it's going to require a lot of work, but, and I'd like to do one term, and I have no political aspirations for higher office.
Thanks, Tom. And Harry Franklin is not with us, I assume. Okay, I'm going to ask you if you can try and keep your answers to a minute. I'm not going to time you. If it gets on like a couple, 3 minutes, I'll probably say something. But, you know, there's five of us, and if you each take 1 minute, we're already like in an hour and a half. So the more succinct your answer, we would be grateful. And I will probably jump around with you rather than start here and then start there. So keep you on your toes. And we'll start with George this time.
Are we going to ask each one of them or just one person at a time?
One question, and we'll let everybody answer the same question, just like we've done.
Okay. Got it. Let's say a couple come into Morro Bay and they're going to build a home here. And as they're putting out the plans for the home, they're going to paint their house red. Now, the neighbors all jump up and start yelling on the microphone immediately. What are you going to do about that? How are you going to react to that?
And why don't we start right in the middle with John? I'll just pick him out.
So they tell you that if everybody's jumping up and down in the neighborhood and it's a nuisance to the neighborhood, the color red is a nuisance to the neighborhood, I would have to disagree with the applicant. But I don't, being in the business, I kind of look at things black and white instead of red. And I believe in the property rights, what the property owner wants to do. I would have to say that I would let the applicant, knowing that the applicant is now at a point where they spent so much money and effort to bring it to the Planning Commission, not do it through staff approval, that they're probably pretty frustrated. And I would have to agree with the applicant and say, go ahead and paint your house red.
Jerry?
Oh, yes. There are already several houses in Morro Bay that are... Hello. There are several houses in Morro Bay that are already red. Question I have for you, George, are you thinking barn red or something on the fuchsia side?
Let's say a real bright red.
One of the nice things about archaeological diversity, architectural diversity, is that it does make driving down the street interesting. So, you know, from the standpoint of just simply being red, anything that's architecturally interesting is going to offend several people. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're wrong.
Thanks. Rick?
Thank you. Again, I am a property rights person, and if somebody that plays by the rules and worked hard all their life and they can afford to pay the building fees and buy a home in Morro Bay and they want to be known as the people with the weird colored house, good with me.
Thanks. Joe?
I don't think that we're supposed to be an architecture review committee. I think that we're a planning commission. And if you want to live in a neighborhood with CC&Rs, we have the cloisters.
Susan?
Well, I've lived in neighborhoods with CC&Rs, and you basically could paint your house 16 shades of beige, one of those. Or sometimes only one of four shades of beige. And I personally have a red door on my house. And after I did that, two other of my neighbors painted their doors red, too. However, I think that most people do not want to move into a neighborhood and make enemies of their neighbors immediately. So the question that I would ask if someone had a proposal out there is whether they could actually live with something that wasn't, you know, fuchsia red or whatever it was, and maybe they would like to talk to their neighbors about it, and maybe there's a color red they could agree on by all the parties involved.
Thanks. Tom?
Paint it and go.
Thank you. Who, Paul?
Well, George, if someone wanted to put a shark on the top of their roof or something like that, as long as it fit inside the rules of the coastal planning and the general plan and you know, the setbacks and the height limits, then it's okay. Color's not, we're not architectural.
Bill.
Well, out of CCNR, you can paint your house any color you want, only in a community that has rules about color and other things, then without a CCNR, a person can paint their house any color they feel like.
Thank you. Nancy.
That was fast. Yeah, did they all answer that?
Yep. Everybody got an answer, right? Yes.
Okay. What do you understand regarding your role and responsibilities as a member of the Planning Commission?
We'll start with Bill this time.
I'm sorry, restate that.
What do you understand are your, what do you understand regarding your role and your responsibilities as a member of the Planning Commission?
Well, water usage, land usage, the UBC, my 50 years in the construction experience, we come up with a lot of different angles and ways of doing jobs. And as long as you follow the rules and you're within the UBC, the Unified Building Code, or in the city's restrictions, and go ahead and build what you build.
Tom?
The Planning Commission is basically a board to make land use decisions based on available and existing laws and ordinances in the city. And they're also required to weigh public input and balance the public input with the validity of their arguments as it relates to the codes and the ordinances.
Joe?
Well, I think it's to be non-biased and non-opinionated, to be open-minded, to make decisions with land use.
They set their agendas, they take direction from council for agenda items such like the sign ordinance thing that the next group will probably be tackling along with wastewater and things like this. But that's how I view it.
Thanks. John?
I'll agree with what Bill, Rick said. I feel we are an advisory board to you. But I think at the same time, we need to be respectful for the potential parameters that are presented to the board from the staff, because I think the staff is going to be one of the things that I really feel strongly about is using the staff as the advisory to us to make those decisions, and I think that's very, very important. But the biggest thing is that I think we are, don't be opinionated, and we're an advisory to the City Council.
Jerry?
I think that the Planning Commission is an adjunct to the City Council. I think that we are chartered with the idea of having to provide more technical depth and perhaps a little more dispassionate input to the city city council. I think that we're probably more interested in collecting information, digesting that information, and providing it dispassionately to the city council to make a decision on it.
Thanks. Paul?
Well, I think the role of a planning commissioner would be to ethically keep in mind and balance with the applicant's needs, the land use needs, and what is best for the community. So there's a delicate balance there that we have to find for both. Also, I think it has to work with the planning department and together with the planning department come up with recommendations that may reach the council.
Thanks. I got everybody? Susan, sorry.
Okay. Well, I think the Planning Commission is an implementing board and not a board that sets policy. So I think there are boundaries that are laid out in the plans. I think there are guidance given by the City Council, and I think that the job is since that will certainly smooth things later on when people come in and ask for permission to build according to their own plans.
Great, thanks. Very impressed with all of you. Noah.
Thank you. Just want to recognize the changes that we've been facing for the last couple of years, both economically and then in some ways environmentally, and wanted to hear from each of you what your thoughts were as far as how, as we transition with the new economy, what you think those effects might be on Morro Bay and how that might have an effect on our planning and land use processes.
We'll start with you this time, Susan.
Okay. I'd like to see, and this may go hand in hand with whatever happens with the power plant. Obviously, the power plant's not going to be there forever, and won't be an operating power plant forever. And depending on what happens with the prior proposal for a convention center, it seems like we need to get some way to have development in this area that brings business in, say, in the middle of the week and in the off season. There's a lot of business here on the weekends and in the summer season, but sometimes you can throw a stone down in Embarcadero Road there, on Wednesday night or in the afternoons. And so I'd like to see some kind of development to happen, and maybe in terms of infill or use of the power plant as in the way of a convention center, something that could bring business in here in the middle of the week and in the off season. So I think that's one issue. I think the issue of taking a look at our water usage and our building codes to see if there are ways. Obviously, water is a big issue in this area, and I'd like to see some look at least our local rules and potentially depending on related to gardening and to usage in new homes and retrofits to see if that could be improved as well. And as I said, I'd like to take a look at infill development and see if there are ways that could be promoted to build the tax rolls and encourage business here.
Thank you. Paul?
I think it's difficult for the board to try and help out the economic situation. I think we're already driven by the economics of what's happening. So, you know, in a downtime, the city's not going to get a lot of revenues coming in from development. So maybe an idea would be to lower fees or do something else that would invite some growth into the community. I don't know what other things we could do to invite growth, but fees are the one.
I think that was part of the ripple effect of tearing apart of what happened with the sewer plant and certain disagreements that were going there. But the bottom line is, I think economically, we're in an area where in the past couple of years, the city has given favorable fee reductions to environmentally free, you know, great buildings like the one that I was going to be involved in. But unfortunately, it all comes down at the end is going to be the economics, and I really feel that we have to do everything we can to make it as easy as possible for the applicant living within that box that was set forth by the staff and certain other people to make sure that we have that as easy possible for the property owner to be the developing.
Thank you. Jay?
Morro Bay is a part of a very unique area in the world and in this country. The coastal plain of California is probably the most desirable weather that you could possibly have. This is a very attractive area. We've seen the infill starting in San Francisco and working south. We've seen the infill starting in Los Angeles and San Diego and working north. And Morro Bay, representing the halfway point between these two municipalities, is probably the last area to be developed. I have no doubt that Morro Bay is going to recover very quickly from this economy slowdown, and it's going to continue on the path that it has as becoming the last vestige of the of the coastal plain that's developable on this site. I think that people are going to come here in large groves, in large numbers. It's incumbent upon the city to be prepared for this influx. I think that the price of homes is going to drastically increase as the desirability of this area becomes apparent when the recovery of the economy. I think that some of the parts of the city have become a little blighted, and I think that we need to encourage retrofitting and infilling of that part of the city. I think that Morro Bay is a fantastic place, and I'm looking forward to helping
put on regarding low cost housing and very low cost housing, and that's a very noble thing. But I think we need to take a look at that and see if that or how that affects builders coming in and doing things. Also, you know, you have things like a sign ordinance that's coming up, and you got a lot of different factions, and hopefully it doesn't become a contentious issue. But you got the people that want to advertise more, you got the people that don't want it in their face, you have the public safety concerns with having advertisements and right-of-ways and things like this. So I see that as something that's coming up soon that I'd like to be able to allow people to have effective, good-taste advertisement without affecting any public safety issues. But and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Tom?
I'm not sure the Planning Commission can do much as an individual body to kickstart the economy. I go back to the difficulties we have with our general plan and our local coastal plan. I'll give you an example of people who would like to do business here or who but really can't. And just recently, Gio de Garamore opened a new beautiful wine bar down in the Embarcadero. And he spent a couple $100,000 on that, and it's just a gorgeous place. It raised the class bar on that area of the Embarcadero 10 feet. But he's already had to deal with his neighbors who live above him on the cliff. And that's a zoning issue that really shouldn't be there. There's only three blocks on the entire bluff above the Embarcadero that has commercial establishments on it. The rest of it's all residential. So that's an issue that needs to be worked on in the future to make the businesses below prosper without having to deal with neighbors. And zoning is what's going to do that. Zoning is like what Ralph Waldo Emerson said, good fences make good neighbors, and good zones make good neighbors. They keep them away from each other. The other example is the old cannery property. Frank Loving wanted to move his boats down there, but he got so much trouble from his neighbors, and our LCP and our zoning ordinance and our general plan enabled these people to stuff that project. Now here's Frank Loving, who's a third generation.
For me, I've been a business owner. I started a second business. My wife works two jobs. We have a 60-year-old 800-square-foot beach cabin. And 5 years ago, our dream was to tear it down and put a 1,500-square-foot, three-bedroom, two-bath house on it. In the last 4 years, the cost alone from the city has increased the cost of that building by about $20,000 with some of the decisions. So in making decisions on structure, size, shape, form, looking at engineering, looking at design, and looking at the construction and understanding the cost that's implemented from those decisions, I think have to be addressed. Because for us now, because of the economy, construction, the business, the city themselves, we're out of the loop. We've been taken out by that $20,000 and other things, but that just put a big hurt on people who are 50 years old. There's a lot of people in this town that I know who work here, employees in the city, who would like to make additions to their houses, who would like to remodel their existing structures, but because of fees, impact fees, sewer fees, they can't do it. They can't afford it. So in order to try and create more economic growth here, people 35 years old to 50 years old being able to add to their houses, make it easier for them to do it by not increasing cost, would increase revenue for the city.
Thank you. Bill?
I think the Planning Commission can do a lot on the order of freeing up building permits, restrictions, and the rest of it to make it easier for one to come here. They're bringing their money in here. They're buying land. They're building a home. It's our future. You know, I mean, it's our future as much as it is theirs. So I would think that we ought to make it a little bit easier for them to come in here and spend their money and have at it, you know. As long as they're within the rules, the city rules and the regulations, I believe that I would try to make it easier on people to come in. If they have the money and they're willing to come here and live with us, why are we all here? We're here for the same reason. So that's my sentiments. I think that we ought to make it easier on everybody. Get it going. Kick it.
Thank you. Yes?
Being a builder in town, did a lot of remodel work. I've had clients that I've worked for that are retired, and they're trying to do an addition on their house. 2 years to get their permits to do it. The woman says, I've cried 3 times at the Planning Commission. I've cried at the plan. He bought a set of plans, and they were one of the biggest developers in this town, contractor actually. 4 times he brought a set of plans to the Planning Commission, first time with the revisions, second time with the revisions, 3rd times. That type of stuff needs to be addressed and stopped and changed.
Thank you, John.
In 1983, I applied for a building permit. It took 2 days. I bought a couple homes out North Morro Bay. I wanted to build a second story and a bathroom upstairs. I went down to the building department, took my drawings in. 2 days later, I had the building permit. Go figure.
30 years, see what happened. Carla.
My question is, what do you see as your relationship with the city planning staff?
Jerry.
I'm not sure I entirely understand that particular comment. As I understand the relationship between the Planning Commission and the City Council, I'm sorry, and the
staff.
Planning, or the city staff of the city, that the staff represents a resource for gaining the information necessary to make reasonable decisions. I find that to be very respectful, and I understand that the people who work for the city are well trained and well versed in their positions and can be counted on to give good and reasonable advice.
Susan?
Well, I agree they represent a tremendous resource, informational resource. I think another way they're a resource for the Planning Commission is that they represent, they're a historical base. So in terms of not only providing information on what the rules are, but in terms of past situations that are similar to situations that are coming up, one of the ways in which people can be sure that their treatment is fair is to look at past situations that are similar, like sometimes referred to in contract law, similarly situated. And the idea that, you know, that they can come in and talk about how situations are resolved, if there were problems that had come up before, how situations were handled in similar ways, that historical basis sometimes is very, very difficult to find somewhere else. And so usually you can't go in one place to find or look it up in a book or something. So I think the city staff really represents a really, really good historical base for the planning.
Make all those decisions along with what other study you have in your own common sense to make the decisions. So I think you work together as a team.
Thanks. Bill?
Yeah, hard work, working together. I agree with that. Simplifying them. The process and getting on with it.
Rick?
I would use them the same way I used city staff when I was on the council I'd get my agenda packet and I'd be going over things with them, find the history of things, what the rules and regulations are pertaining to those things, and they'd be my best resource.
Where am I? John?
I think it depends on the situation. If we're talking about a property owner that's coming, that has an issue that needs to come in front of the Planning Commission, There's a reason for that, and the reason for that is that there was guidelines that was provided by the staff, by the zoning standards and so forth. This applicant is coming in front of the Planning Commission because they're asking for exceptions, and those exceptions are very important, and the information that you receive from the staff is going to be very crucial. But historically, it's great to look at history, but you know, I got to say that if you always do what you always did, you're going to get what you always got, which is basically what we're sitting here saying, is that we have to make it easier for applicants to move their projects forward. So it's very important when we're sitting across from the planning staff, it's very important that we look at all the options, not only for what happened in this city, but potentially in other areas. So I would venture to say the staff has to give parameters outside the area to be able to do that. But I do respect and I do believe in team play and teamwork and making sure that we're speaking out of the same box.
Joe?
Well, as a building professional, having their assets, their knowledge, experience, code, zoning information available, that would enhance my decisions greatly as a practical building person. And having that asset and working together with them would be in the benefit for me, for them, for the city, and for the potential people who are putting in to do projects. Working.
I would go as easy on them as I could.
Thanks. I'm not going to ask any questions because, you know, we've had this time and I've been able to hear you from the other questions. And, you know, I thank all of you. I don't, there's not a weak candidate here. We've got 8 strong candidates. We're only going to choose 3. So those 5 of you who don't get chosen, please don't take it personally. And know how grateful we are that you came down here and spent your time and you have the interest to serve on the Planning Commission. And we're very, very grateful for that. So that said, is there any follow-ups?
Yes, please. Can we ask the candidates if they're interested in the 1 2-year position or the 2 4-year positions? There's one that's 2 years.
Well, I have my notes right here in front of me. Here we go. Yeah, so maybe we just go down the line here. If there's 2 4-year vacant openings and 1 2-year. So does anybody have a strong feeling on the 2-year?
Yeah, I'd go for that. Do we make comment with it?
Who wants to comment?
I mean, I'm taking one.
Okay, great.
The 2-year would give us would give me an opportunity to make sure that I'm the candidate that you'd want on this board with the education and experience.
But you're open to the 4?
I'm open to the 4, yes.
And everybody else is open to the 4. Great. Any other follow-ups? Over here. Okay, we vote for 3. Good thing these are folded so we don't know what we're saying. Thank you, Carla. Andrew will be the arbiter here. I mean, it's possible that we have... He voted for 3 and different 3 and different 3, and so high vote getter will get it. And if any of those who aren't chosen, you know, would consider Public Works Advisory Board... We are actively seeking.
We actually do have 3 that you've chosen. The votes are as follows. David Anderton received 1. Rick Grantham received 3 votes.
Thomas Lurie received no votes. Paul Nagy received 3 votes. Susan Snyder received 1 vote. John Solo received 5 votes. And Bill Wells received 2 votes. And Jerry Weber received no votes. And those went in the following manner. Councilmember League voted for David Anderton, John Solo, and Bill Wells. Councilmember Smuckler voted for Paul Nagy, Susan Snyder, and John Solo. Mayor Yates voted for Rick Grantham, John Solo, and Bill Wells. Councilmember Borchard voted for Rick Grantham, Paul Nagy, and John Solo. And Councilmember Johnson voted for Rick Grantham, Paul Nagy, and John Solo.
So who are our appointees again?
Our appointees are Rick Grantham, Paul Nagy, and John Solo.
Paul, Rick, and John, congratulations. Thank you for serving. The rest of you, thank you. Some other 2-year term. Paul, John, and I can't read my own writing. Rick, any feeling on the 2-year term versus the 4? Paul will take the 2-year term. I did not offer public comment. Does anybody want to address council on anything? Everybody cool? Okay, then this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of it.